Praise the Lord. I'm from Africa. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. When we go through this small video and pictures, what is coming to our mind? It's amazing. It is impossible to man, but it is possible with God. 19 years, 3 different countries, 20 plus churches, and 25 local workers. Sometimes when I see, we recently made this video with the old pictures and the new pictures, I literally cry because this is beyond our measure. This is beyond our comprehension. This is beyond our ability. And this is beyond our resources. Last 10 years, we are based in the US. We made 43 trips to Malawi. Sometimes he used to go even 4 times. You live here, you work here. It is difficult, we know. But it is not difficult for God. That's why I say that it is impossible to man. But it is possible with God. We are so happy that God has used us as just as a small instrument for his glory. I can talk about Africa 24 hours. And even in front of the new missionaries, I'm so happy to stand. You know, work is for. We call Georgie, Rebe, Nathan, Ruth, and Ben. It's amazing. It all started with one man, 2008. You saw him. He's 88 years old. The main purpose, we went to Australia recently. We had meetings and all to see that uncle, Albert Fairbrother. Many of you know because he visited this place for IVF and other things. He is 88 years old, still healthy. He is driving to the chapel. All his mind, it's only about Kenya and Africa. He was so excited to see us. So there is a saying, you can leave Africa, but Africa will never leave you. Look at this man. 7-8 years before, let me just connect that. I came here for a Wednesday meeting. Georgie was just sitting behind us. He was all excited. He was all happy. I'm meeting him first time. And then he said, well, I will take you to my home after the meeting. Because we came from George P. Jonangu's house. And after that, he wants to take us. I was thinking, he is meeting me first time. Why all this excitement? What is special about? Then I was getting to know him because first time I'm meeting him, just sitting behind me, just like this. Then I was getting to know him. He said, I was born and brought up in Africa. That's a commonality. We don't need anything else. Then he came 4 times. Let me make it short. Then the first thing he said, when he came to Malawi, I feel like he belong here. This is the 4th time. Now he is completely belong to Malawi. And you can feel, I'm not just joking. It's only 3 weeks since I left Malawi. We are already missing our people. It's only because of our children we come. I'm not saying that America is not, it's a good country to live. But God has given us a mission there. We are so happy to continue that. I'm so happy to see Georgie and family here. And they are going before us. George Samuel Engel was asking, so they are going, you are here. So actually, we should be going together. But because of our son's wedding, we can't go together. I told him, so actually we should be going together. So they are going early in June, just for 2 weeks. Then from there to India for maybe like 50 days to be with their parents. Both of their parents are very old and sick. Then August 3rd week, because of Ruth and Benji's schooling, they'll be back. Still, we are not there because our son's wedding is August 11th. So in October, immediately after Julia's wedding, within 2 weeks, because I just live here all my life. It's not about wedding. It's not about anything. It's all about Africa. So within 3 weeks or 2 weeks, by the end of August, you'd like to get back to Africa. So we request your prayers. That is what sustains us. I got malaria 5 times. Even this time, Uncle was saying, it seems like you lost some weight. Maybe. Because I got malaria on my way back. Because we were there in Toronto just 1 week. Maybe I got it there. It acted on, you know, it came out while we were there. So luckily I had some medicine. It's difficult to get medicine probably here. But I am just recovering 80-90%, 5 times. So my immunity level, you know, I know. Every time you get malaria, your immunity level is going. So, but I don't care much about any of those things. It's only about the Lord. So 2000, let me just connect that. 2000, Uncle Fairweather came there when he was 65 years old. 65 years, we think that we right of our life. But this gentleman came to Africa in an unknown place, in a very strange place, staying in a caravan made by himself, where there is no toilet. I stayed with him 2 months in my first visit in 2004. I lost 18 pounds. I regained it later. He lost 20 pounds. Another brother who was with us, he lost 12 pounds. We all got sick. But that didn't deter us. It all started 2000. Then 2003, Uncle John Guinea. He invited him to be there. Then he came back to Kottayam Puthuppally and shared about it. Then 2 years before, we were praying that God take us out of this comfort zone, Kottayam. We had everything. We had good ministries. We had a nice house. We had all kinds of ministries. But we were not happy. We did not have any time to relax. Children's ministry, youth ministry, Bible school, writings, books. But we were not happy, both of us, even my wife, because she was fully dedicated to go as a missionary. We prayed, God opened the way, we ended up, that's all big stories. So 2003, John Quirion went there. 2004, we went there. Then after 3 years, a brother, Happy and Susie from US came there. So brother Anand, who is working in Blandia, it is not straight through us, but he wrote to me, brother, I want to come to Malawi. I wrote to him, Anand, I cannot take anybody because I came by faith. If it is Lord's will, you will end up in Malawi. That brother was praying. Somehow within 3 years, he ended up in the second biggest city in Malawi, that is Blandia. Blandia is the birthplace of Dr. David Livingstone. When missionaries came, they started staying there. It's a beautiful mountain. They named that place Blandia. So that is the connection. Now, Brother Georgie is coming. And in between, I don't know, last 19 years, how many people visited? Hundreds of visited. And many of you here visited us and stayed with us. So next, Alexander Kanangli is not here. So with a gap, he is going to come to Malawi. So next summer. But Ashley was coming 7 times. After me, it is Ashley who came, you know, more times, 7 times. Brother Rogers came 6 times. Uncle Johns and Daniel came 5 times. I think George P. John Uncle came 4 or 5 times. Yes. Gijo came 4 times. And then there are so many people who made several visits. That's why if you come to Malawi, if you come to Africa, you feel like coming again. If you haven't visited Africa anytime, you must visit Africa, because without going to Africa, what is life? That is a must visit place. It's beautiful. Africa is beautiful. So that's all I want to share about the mission. So we do need your prayers. Two more places we recently started the work. There are 13 churches in Malawi, 25 workers. We have a big mission center. You saw the church. God has given us a house, nice, beautiful house. We don't have still electricity, but at least everything is functioning. With solar, 12 years, we did not have a refrigerator. Then people ask, how did you survive? We just had the organic. Everything was organic. We just cook and eat. You name it, we have everything in our 10, 15 acres field. We have sugarcane, we have orange, we have avocado, we have chaka, jackfruit, we have kappa, cassava, we have passion fruit, we have avocado, what else? You name it, onion, tomato, banana, big banana, small banana, all kinds of fruits we have. Some people say, oh, this is a garden of you. So I like to do some farming, but I never used to do it, but in deep in my heart, that is there. So what I'm speaking, those who visited us there. So Yoji, when you go back, there is a lot of passion food, hundreds of them. So I told our brothers, you keep some for our beloved brothers. So whatever is there, just use it, okay? So many things are happening, and please do pray for us. So I just want to talk about one thing this evening, making a difference. When God is grading our life, I think this is going to be one of the main criteria. Did we make a difference in somebody else's life? The world is so selfish. We ourselves are very selfish. Nobody has to teach us to live selfishly because that is in our gene, that is our human nature. But to live for somebody else, we need to do something, or we need to practice that. Paul, in the book of Romans, chapter 16, he is bringing out 37 names. That's a masterpiece of the entire Bible. In that masterpiece, in that most important book, we may think that why he is wasting time, the whole chapter mentioning the names of some people. Yes. These people, names Paul mentioning, they made a difference in others' life. So Paul made difference in so many people's life. So if you make a difference in somebody else's life, that is the biggest joy. So people usually say that, Vinoji and Joe, you are so happy, you are so jovial. Yes, we are happy. Not because we have so much money, we don't have anything. But the fact that God has called us to serve others, and more especially the underprivileged people in Malawi, in Africa, that's our call. Teach them, guide them, equip them, and do something to their life. So we are not only just teaching, many other things we are doing. Last 19 years in Malawi, we could build 15 houses for our evangelists. So usually they stay in thatched house with $2,000, just $2,000, the plane fare to India. We can make a difference in their life. We can build a 2-bedroom iron sheet, the burn bricks, we can plaster it and give to them. 15 houses. And many of the churches, in all the places, we have the church building. And so many things, along with the spiritual things, we are doing the farming. So many things. You cannot just ignore the fact that these people are poor people. After coming into the Lord, they are suffering and they are going through poverty. We cannot, tolerate that. So that is why we had to buy all this land. At one point of time, we decided that no more land, because we need to take care of it. But one time God specifically told us, land is cheap. 1 acre, $1,000. 10 acres, $10,000. You buy it. See, these are the lands our brothers and sisters are using to feed themselves. With regard to Africa, the land is very precious to them. If they have something to eat, they are so happy. They are happier than us, actually. They don't have the shoes. They don't have the sandals, chappals, or whatever. They don't have the proper clothes. They don't have 3 times meat. But they are very happy. I don't know why. When you come to Africa, you'll know that. And many of them know Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior and Lord. So in short, let me tell you, making some difference in somebody's life in some way, you don't need to go to Africa, even here, wherever God has called us, we can make that difference. When you do this mantra, me, myself, and I, see, at the end of the day, we are going to lead a very stressful life. You give your 1 hour to somebody else. You devote your 2 hours to somebody else. And you think about somebody else in a way, in a positive way, helping others. That itself will give you joy and happiness. So Paul made difference in countless life. Those are the names we see in chapter 16 of Romans. It's a masterpiece. It's a masterpiece of the gospel document. What is the gospel document? Justification, sanctification, and glorification. What is justification? He paid it all. He pardoned our sin. So when we go through the book of Romans, we see that the highest court, the supreme court in the universe, has pardoned our sins. That is why chapter 8, verse 1 says that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. So in such a beautiful book, in such a masterpiece, Paul is spending a lot of time mentioning the names of, otherwise we would never know these names. Who are these people? What did they do to the Lord? What did they do to Apostle Paul? They did a lot of things. We are going to bring out a few names. What did they do to the Lord? So let me just talk a few minutes about the city of Rome. The city of Rome was a huge city. It was the capital city of the entire Roman world. And we hear that all the roads leads to Rome. It is a city that never slept. Paul never visited this place. But deep in his heart, he wanted to visit this place. But that wasn't possible. You know why? Because he made a collection for the saints in Jerusalem. Because they were going through poverty and famine. And in Corinth, in Philippi, in Macedonia, he made a collection with Timothy and other people. They got a considerable amount. So he came very close to Rome, 800 miles, but he is going back to 2,500 miles, back to Jerusalem. The reason is he wanted to be accountable, transparent. He wanted to carry this most important thing, much needed thing that was so urgent. And he's taking it to Jerusalem. While he was taking it there, he started preaching the gospel. But that annoyed the people there. What did they do? The whole city, commotion, they thought that they brought it up like a big, who is coming? And they arrested Apostle Paul. And they wanted to put him in prison because of the opposition. They could not do that. They took him to where? Caesarea. We know that, a few hundred miles away. And then there he was tried. But before Agrippa, he said, I appeal to Caesar. You know what he said? Paul, I don't find any fault in you. Had you not appealed to Augustus Caesar, I could have released you. Acts chapter 27 and 28. So he wanted to go to Rome as a free man, but when he went at last, he's not a free man, he went as a chained man. So before that, what happened when he could not go? He wrote this most important letter. To me, this is the most valuable thing in the whole world. This is more valuable than the whole gold in this world. This is more valuable than anything that can come up in this world. Book of Romans, Gospel Manifesto, the masterpiece of Apostle Paul. Imagine the Bible without Book of Romans.
The person whom he chose
to carry this most important letter, we will come to that. Who is that lady? Sister Phoebe. We'll come to that later. So the mentioning of these names, that means Paul is thinking about them. He was praying for them. He had burden for them. And he is, if he's not mentioning these names, we don't have any chance to know about the ordinary life, or the life of the ordinary believers in the first century. 37 names. This is the most extensive and intimate expression of Paul's love and affection. Usually we see Paul as an aggressive person, very persuasive person, a go-go character. He wanted to accomplish things. Some of us are like that. I'm like that. You know that what I mean? That's one side. But on the other side, he is a person who is caring for the people. He is a person who has got much love for the people. He is a person who has got compassion and kindness for the people. Chapter 16 is an evidence to that. And he is so thankful and grateful about these people. That is why he is very specific about what Phoebe did. That is why he is very specific about what the other one, that Aquila and Priscilla did. And he is very specific about what Julia or Philologus, many of the names are not very familiar to us, what they did to him and what they did to the Lord. He was so grateful. Paul is always a team person. Did he care for the people? That's the first thing. If somebody asked me the question, what is the most important criterion missionary should have? What do you think? What do you think? The most important criteria a missionary should have, I would say that passion for the people. If you don't have love for Africans, don't even plan to go there. If you cannot love these poor people, you know why I'm saying? In all African countries, there are so many Indians, big people, business people, British Indians. They don't want to live here. They want to live there. 5-6 servants, big cars, big compound. Because they came there 100 years before. These are the, you know, third, fourth generations. Sometimes when we see these people, you know, how they take care, we feel very sorry for them. Even after 100 years, they did not know how to. But let me tell you, if you don't have that love and passion for the people, it is better not to go into any kind of ministry. Not only as a missionary, even when you are working as a minister in the church, as an evangelist, we must have that love for the people. Paul had a lot of love for the people. That is why he is mentioning so many names. He worked with sisters. He worked with brothers. He worked with bachelors. And he worked with the business people. And there were so many people involved in the ministry for Apostle Paul. We see the names. Chapter 16, when we read the first verse, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has in need of you. For indeed, she has been a helper of many and of myself also. She's the only deaconess mentioned in the whole Bible. Maybe she was working among the sisters. She had a ministry among the sisters. We do not know much about her, but we know one thing. She was a very faithful lady. She had a very proven character. And probably she was a very prominent. When Paul was talking about, discussing about with his people in Corinth, who should take this most important manifesto? Think about that. Book of Romans is the most valuable document in the whole world. There is nothing like Book of Romans. Who should carry this? And they decided together that our sister Phoebe, she should carry that. Yes, there are some wonderful ladies also who can be greatly used for the Lord. The whole Christendom, we see that. And she, the criteria that the Paul saying, Paul is giving a commendation, and he is saying that she helped many and she helped me. She had a willing heart. She was a very strong lady. She was a very courageous lady. 800 miles is nothing today, because we drove all the way from Atlanta to Dallas, 800 miles. It's only 12 hours. But that wasn't the case in those days. To cover 800 miles, she may have to get into a few different ships, sail in different ships. And it was very risky. How many months Apostle Paul took to come from Caesarea to Rome? So many months. You know the history. So it's not an easy task. It's a very important task. But Paul is giving that task to her. The whole church trusted her. She had a willing heart to help others. She had an open heart. And she helped many, and she helped Apostle Paul, Sister Phoebe. There are many ladies like that. And the second group of people we see, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Aquila and Priscilla, they are known as the first century couple. They are from Corinth. Paul found out them in the second missionary journey. He taught them. They got saved. They were tent makers. They worked with Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul stayed with them. When nobody was willing to give him an accommodation, Apostle Paul stayed with them. When Paul came to Ephesus, he also brought them. So there also Apostle Paul stayed with them. See, what is so special about them? To the Roman government, Apostle Paul is like a criminal, because he is creating problem in the society among the Jewish people. So the Jewish people saying that about the Christians, the new way. That's what they are referring to. So they are thinking Apostle Paul as the biggest hurdle, as a criminal. So taking care of Apostle Paul or giving him an accommodation is like harboring a criminal. That is why Paul is very specific. By knowing the situation, he is saying that they gave their necks to me. So they took big risk. My fellow believers, let me tell you, we are not going to achieve anything in Christian life unless we take a risk in faith. We all take risk. Coming to America itself is a big risk, right? You have taken a big decision. In life, we have taken so many decisions. Many of those decisions are successful material-wise, physical-wise, career-wise. But my question is, have we taken any risky decision for the Lord? That's what counts. God only counts that. God doesn't count that whether you made 2 millions. God doesn't count that whether you have a 5,000 square feet house. God doesn't count that whether you live in Dallas or Atlanta or in Africa. But God counts whether we have taken a decision, small decision, in faith. Bible is full of people who have taken risky decisions in faith for God. Hebrews chapter 11 says 18 people, they have taken great decision for God in different times, risking their life. Many of them had to give their life. It's not easy. That is why Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. I'm not talking about the saving faith. We all have the saving faith. We trusted in Jesus. But I'm talking about the practical faith, day-to-day life. So when we take a decision in faith or risky decision, we know that what Rahab did. Because she took a risky decision, her name is found in the book of Hebrews. Her name is found in the list of genealogy. She was a Canaanite woman. She never could come into the presence of God, even the 10th generation. But she found a place because of that decision. So if it was found out, what would have happened? You know that. Her whole family would have been wiped away from this world. But she took that decision. She took a strong decision to, you know, hide God's servants, two of those spies. God honored that decision. So when we take a risky decision or, you know, for God in faith, it is rewarding. It pleases God. It motivates others and increases our faith. That is the only thing that can reveal us. And I'm not making anyone guilty, like, you know, you should go to Africa to work for them. No. So let me tell you just one example. We all are going to get the reward. The way we are getting rewards, you also will get the reward. So 1 Samuel chapter 31, I think. Sikla 30. There's a big debate about the spoils. They got all the spoils from Amalekites, how to divide that. Some 300 people were guarding the spoils, and 300, 400 people went with David in the battlefield. Then there was a big debate, big argument about how to divide the spoils. So David said, "My fellow brethren, this is what we should do. All those who went into the battlefield, all those who are keeping the spoil behind the curtain, they all are going to get the rewards in an equal way." We read that from that day onwards, that law has become a law in the land of Israel. That is why I said, we are in the battlefield, we are at the forefront, and we are survived by the prayers of many, by the support of many people. And how many, even this trip, last 6 months we were there, how many people came? So many people came. First, Sandosh and Jinsi came from Atlanta. Then Joe, Philip, and Nisha came from Dallas. Then Ashley came from here. Then another family, Babu and Grace, came from Minneapolis. Then in between, Georgie came. It wasn't in our plan, but we had to do so many things. And then Johns and Daniel came. Ligi and Jijo came. These many people came in 6 months. They came to help us. And still, you know, the whole next year, it is booked. At least they have, these people are working. They are hardworking. They have the willingness to come and help. So we have a desire to encourage these people. It is very important. Otherwise, we will feel very disgraced. That is why when Joji comes, we are happy. So we go through loneliness sometimes. So even our own brother, because in the mission center, four families stay. When our friends come, oh, we sing and we, you know, we shout and we make a joyful noise. Then our brothers are saying in the church, "Oh, Uncle Vinoj and Mama Joyce are very happy because their friends were there. We could hear them shouting, singing, and making noise. Otherwise, we become sad because we are in a village. It's a witchcraft village. We don't have any Indian friends. We don't have any Malayalis, you know. We are right inside. You can imagine the city. Zero social. Six months. We did not visit even one house, I mean, about any for social, other than the Africans. See, this is the situation there. So even when this dear family comes, Joji and Rebe and children comes, they are going to go through that loneliness. It is not America. Things are different. The situations are different. We went through that a lot in Kenya, starting with children used to cry because they don't have friends. We left everything in Kerala and went there. Nobody is coming to our house. Nobody is even calling us for a cup of tea. I'm thinking, why these Kenyan brothers are not calling? They don't have the practice of calling somebody. It is like here. They are used to the Western culture. If they want to call somebody, they will call them for a coffee or something like that. Usually they don't go to their house. That's our Eastern culture. So we will have to go through loneliness. And we will have to go through misunderstanding. We will have to go through so many other struggles. Five times I got malaria. One time I fell down, collapsed. So all these challenges are there. There's no 911. I'm not scaring you, right? Okay, Ruth, don't worry. God will take care of you. So when I stand on top of the mountain, even driving there, only I can handle. Maybe Joji also can handle. But our brothers cannot handle that big mountain, huge hill. I think, if something happens to me, who is going to drive me down? There's no 911. If you think that way, you never make it. But God is there. believe that wherever you are, nothing will happen without the permission of God. I believe it 110%. If I need to die at this age, I will die. Whether in America or Kerala or Africa. Do you believe so? Yes, that is so. So they gave their necks. So taking risky decision, it's going to provide. See, Kenya was my first country. God has taken us to so many countries. That's a result of, you know, trusting in Him. With two small kids, 8 and 5. So taking risky decision for God in faith, we are going to get the rewards. There are so many names mentioned because of time. What time you are supposed to? Okay. So there is another possible couple mentioned, Antonicus, Junia, Philologus, and Julia. It is from here that I got the name of Julia. The meaning of Julia is youthful. Junia seems to be the name of a woman. They were prisoners with Apostle Paul. They took care of Apostle Paul. They came to faith before Paul. Is it not encouraging to hear that these people made a sacrifice to serve Apostle Paul in the jail? So we think that when we go to jail if it is for a wrong reason, we are not happy. But Apostle Paul being in jail, it is for a positive reason. It is for the cross of Christ. He is so happy. And they are making the jail as a gospel battleground. He's sharing the gospel. Others also hearing it. They are getting converted. And we know that, you know, thousands of people have heard the gospel while he is in Roman prison, especially during the first 2 years when he was writing Book of Ephesians and Philippians. They made a lot of sacrifices. Had he not mentioned these names, we would never know about these names. Philologus and Julia. And Paul is not only complimenting these names, he's also giving towards the end of this chapter a strong warning against the heretical teachers, false teachers. So there are so many false teachers today. We face that in so much in Malawi. When we go to the village churches, already there is a pastor. Then I ask our brothers, who is this fellow? Oh, he's a pastor and so and so. And later when we come to know about that, he's an apostle. He's praying in the mountain. And, you know, when a church is established, this, you know, false prophets and false teachers come from here and there with their doctrine. So we made it a point that other than our brothers, you know, our brothers and our evangelists, the person we, you know, designate or authorize, nobody should go to a local church and local assembly and teach. Because these are simple people, right? They can be influenced by anybody. We do the hard work, bring up a church, bring up a building. When there are 100 people, a false teacher or false apostle. Africa is full of false teachers. We need to be very careful. We had to deal with that situation in Kenya. We had to deal with that situation in Dar es Salaam. We had to deal with the situation where you came near the lake. And we have to still deal with the situation right there in Lilongwe. Because these are simple people. So how can we know a false teacher? According to here, it says that, let me just read 17 and 18. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learn, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by smooth words and flattering speech, deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. So these are the, we can know false teachers. They serve their own bellies. They are selfish people. They are only concerned about themselves. Their survival, their image, their popularity, and self-promotion. Wherever you see self-promotion, be very careful. They give importance to the messenger than the message. Very important. They do not speak about the Lord. They never speak about the glory of God. Rather, they speak about themselves, about their own glory, self-promotion and popularity. And it says that flattery of words, soothing words, attract the simple people. And some people are simply believing all these things because they do not know the truth. That is where we need to step in. These are simple people who are misguided by. And these people are very impressive. When you come to Africa, you see all the social gospel and all these churches, big churches. We call it prosperity gospel. We need to be careful. So when we start a church, when many people are coming, we are going to face those issues. We faced in so many countries and so many places. They use the persuading and impressive words. Another thing, they focus more on material things. See, anyone focusing on material things, giving too much, talking too much about the projects, we need to be very careful. We do a lot of projects, but I never say anything about any project. If you come to Malawi, you will see it. But anybody who is talking more about the material things, we need to be very careful. These are some of the signs of the false teachers. Let me just conclude here. Paul could have given a different conclusion. Then why is he mentioning all these names? In this most important gospel manifesto, chapter 16, it is all about names, 37 names, 29 of them from Roman church at Rome. A person who never visited that place, how can he know these 29 names? Because he's praying for them. And he's writing to them. He asked to others about them. And if you remember the names, that means we are at least remembering them. Whenever we remember them, we pray for them. If you forget the names conveniently, that means you are not even praying them. Paul never visited that place. 37 names. This is the chapter which he is mentioning more names. Even other books, we see so many names, but this chapter has got more names. It is worth mentioning their name because this is an eternal record. And it is a proof that he made a difference in somebody's life. So we should not make difference only in our family, but in others also. Let me just conclude. This is post-COVID time. This is the first time I'm coming here after the COVID. Thank God that we are living, right? But COVID has proved few things. We must make note of it. It has proved that we can live with limited things. Because we are very careful even spending the tissue, right? And it has proved that life lived is more important than the life that we are going to live. So far, how will we live? It's very important. And it has proved that there is a time set by God for everybody. And also it has proven one thing. The things that we care too much doesn't have much value. For certain things, we give too much value, but no value at all. When you go 40,000 feet high, what is your house? Where is your city? Which is your school? You cannot see anything. More you go higher, more you experience that this world is nothing, material things. I'm not saying that we don't need these things. And it has proved that, God has proved that when God shakes the world, nobody can stand. It's very important. And it has proved that only the things that gives us peace is focusing on God. Otherwise, our minds are very disturbed, troublesome.
Mexico, in India, Meghalaya, local outreach ministries.
Yeah, that's
Alex Gurian.
That's about Meghalaya. Forget about that. Let's focus on God. We can be happy when we focus on God. We do not know how many years God is going to live. I always think about George Pijonangle. He's a man who gives value to the eternal things. Even today we said, he sees things, I'm not just boasting somebody, but everybody should be like that. Can we see things in an eternal perspective? Until we try to see that one, there is no peace going to happen in our life. We talk about peer pressure for our kids. No, we have more peer pressure. My neighbor has bought a new Mercedes Benz. Okay, next. I should think about that. He has bought a 6,000 square feet house. We need only 3,000 square feet. But see, we are thinking about 6,000 because my brother brought it. He'll buy 200,000 Tesla because we need to write off the tax. So many things. I'm not blaming anybody. But at the end of the day, none of these things are going to matter. If when God calls us, we leave everything and go. How we give importance to the eternal things, spiritual things, that matters to God. That is what Paul is doing. He is giving a record of the eternal things. He is mentioning these names. They have done tremendous things to the God. Nothing material. They did not have anything. Their businesses were boycotted because they came to the Lord. It is true that God has brought us to him. That doesn't mean that's not the end of the story. Still, you can go. Can you go for a mission trip? Can you go and spend 2 weeks with a missionary? Can we use part of our resources? I'm not saying that you should give me. Don't misunderstand me. We don't ask. Can we give part of our resources to God's work? That will make you happy. There are so many things that can make you happy. Not running after this world. Paul made a difference in countless lives. That's only we say. We think about Malawians more than our kids. You ask my wife. Except during my sleep, I'm thinking about Malawi. I'm not thinking too much about my kids. Why? Because it is God's promise that seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. And God is proving that. It's not our greatness. It is God's glory. We give him all glory and honor. So let us have that eternal perspective. Then life will be changed. We can make a difference in others' life. When others talk about you, they are not going to talk about your house. You are 401k. You are this thing. Only about the eternal dividends. Let us make a difference in others. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this evening time. Thank you for this beautiful church. Thank you for this wonderful brothers and sisters. Thank you that many of them came to Malawi, being a help. We thank God for them. We continue to pray for them. So many newcomers, so many new families. Lord, you have a purpose and plan about each one of us. Help us to fulfill your purpose and ambitions in our life about you, Lord, about the kingdom of God. And thank you for speaking through the life of Apostle Paul, who made difference in countless lives. Lord, help us to continually be useful for God. We especially commit Georgie, Rebe, and children, as they have made that most important decision to come and serve in Malawi, Lord. And we bless your name. Take care of them. Take care of all their needs. And we pray for all the believers. We thank you and we bless your name. In Jesus, our Lord's precious name, we pray. Amen.